So before I get going, I do want to thank all the folks here for hosting this every year. I know it's a lot of work, and I know when it comes to housing us, we really do put the McDivitts out of their way. You know, we invade their home and take over their bedrooms, and you know. So it really is a not just a wonderful work as far as feeding us, as far as the Word of God, but they literally feed us in every way conceivable. And the assembly here does a marvelous work with hospitality and you know, just putting all this together and organizing it. It's a lot of work. So why don't you give yourselves a hand? And I know I speak for both John and Rick when I say thank you from the bottom of our hearts, because this is one place I always look forward to coming every year. And I can always say I leave edified. You know, Paul says that he went to the household of Stephanas to be refreshed, and because they had addicted themselves to the ministry. And I feel that way when I come here. I feel like the saints here have addicted themselves to the ministry, ministering to us. And we should be very grateful for that. Now, yesterday we began to look at three biblical themes that are related to aging, and we cover two of those themes. The first one was that aging is a divine tribute. The second one was that we would have distinctive testing in aging. And today, I want to talk about the third point, and that is that aging is a distinctive triumph. There's a triumph in aging. And each season of life really has its own beauty and purpose. Each segment, its own attractiveness. For instance, it does my heart good to see young people here and to see the enthusiasm that comes with individuals who are learning things for the first time, and the world's new, and we get to see things through their eyes. That's a wonderful thing. And then I see young individuals who are in their 20s, right? Just starting out in their careers, and maturing, and growing. And to me, that's exciting too, because the world is full of possibilities for them. And they can really create very effective change, at least in their small part of the world. And then there's those that are, you know, in the middle area of life, where they're in the area where they can impact others because they're leaders. And they can make decisions that can really, really have lasting impact. And then there's those of us who are near retirement age, like myself, that I'm thinking of retirement and what comes beyond that. And then there's some of us who are at that age where they could be retired if they're not. Some of them are working, some of them are retired. And what they're looking at is, how can I leave a lasting legacy so that future generations can take what I've given them and progress with it? And I think, you know, those are thoughts that we all have. So if you want to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to start here at verse number... Let's start here at verse number 15. For all is because of you that the grace increasing through the majority should be superabounding and thanksgiving to the glory of God. Wherefore, we are not despondent, but even if our outward man is decaying, nevertheless, that within us is being renewed day by day. For the momentary lightness of our affliction is producing for us, I love this phrase, a transcendently transcendent aeonian burden of glory at our not noting what is being observed, but what is not being observed. For what is being observed is temporary, yet what is not being observed is aeonian. Let me stop here for a second. Yesterday we looked at a lot of the challenges that come from aging. Health issues and loss of loved ones and loss of income and all those things. And we looked at all those negative things. And today I want to look at the good things. And there's a lot. I mean, it gets so good. I'm already getting goosebumps just thinking about it. And hopefully I can have some words to convey some of these things. Now let me share some thoughts here. Transcendently. That's an interesting word. Transcendently, in we could look at it this way. Define it this way. In a way that is greater or better or more important, going past or above all others. Now follow this line of thinking. In a way that is greater, better, or more important, going past or above all others. Transcendent. Beyond or above the range of normal human experience. Surpassing the ordinary. The word burden. A load that is extremely heavy. You have a burden of glory to look forward to. Think of this. Hey, Matt, would you take it if I gave you a heavy burden of glory and threw it on you and it was so heavy you began to sink because of all the glory that is being given to you? Would you take that? I mean, who wouldn't take that, right? This is something that's good. Notice Paul begins this whole thing, though, with the idea of our outward man is what?
Perishing.
He's perishing. He's decaying. He's breaking down. He's in the dying process, right? It's said that the moment we're born, we begin to die. Isn't that a crazy thought? But it's true. Our physical body breaks down. Our physical body ages. Our physical body has these weaknesses and frailties that we bear about with us all the time. And as we age, they become more pronounced. You know, an old injury becomes a painful thing as you get older, right? A lot of athletes sometimes will have injuries when they played athletics. I'm sure Greg could relate to this, you know. And as they get older, those things hurt a little more, don't they? You don't bounce back from things as quickly. Our outward man is decaying and perishing. He's groaning within these bodies. And yet, we are being renewed within ourselves each and every day. God is working within us. His Spirit resides in us. He's taken residency in us. And through His Word, He's communicating information to us to encourage us, uplift us, and allow us to continue to move forward in our pilgrimage in this life. And in all of that, we glory in what is not being observed, what is not being seen. We glory in that because God is working in things that we can't see, isn't He? I often think of, in the Corinthian epistles, when Paul talks about how we're a spectacle. Right? But who are we a spectacle for? Is it people?
No.
No. It's beings we can't see. Somebody one time asked me, well, isn't it discouraging sometimes when you see so few people? And I look at it as, no, because I don't know how many millions of individuals are watching us. Right? Doesn't Ephesians 3 tell us that we're teaching the angelic realm the multifarious wisdom of God? They're learning from us, not the other way around. These are things that are true that we have to focus on. So we look at that. He says the things that are being seen, the things being observed, they are temporary. This life is temporary. But what is not seen is lasting, right? It's aeonian, and it's going to go out and beyond. Paul continues down then with that understanding. You're being renewed in the inward man. You're being built up inwardly as your body is breaking down. That's an interesting dynamic. And I can tell you, I can only speak for myself because, again, I only live in my own body. It's a good thing I don't want to mind meld with Rick here. No. I might be in danger.
You have no idea.
I might get this urge to start shooting some foxes or squirrels or something. But you know, I lost my mind. That old age moment. No, but seriously, I think in this life, when we live in this body, as it breaks down, God gives us a coping mechanism through His Word. And His Spirit ministers to us. I really believe as we age, God is preparing us. He's preparing us for departure from this life to a better one. I think back to 2014. And in 2014, I'll share with you. In 2014, I was going through my last rounds of cancer treatments at the time. And I was getting ready to come down to South Carolina. And this was early October. And my wife and I went to a Buffalo Bisons baseball game. That's a minor league team at the time affiliated with the New York Mets. And we're walking back to the car from the stadium, and I couldn't catch my breath. And I was tired. And I felt weak. And I sagged against a building. And Deb goes, do you want me to get somebody? And I said, no, just give me a second. I thought it's just the treatments I'm going through. Get home, walking up the stairs into our home, really having a hard time breathing. I figured I better call my doctor and just let him know. So the next day I go in, they do an EKG, and they send me to a cardiologist's place to take a stress test and an echocardiogram. That night I was having an angiogram, and the next day I had bypass surgery. I had suffered what they call a widowmaker heart attack. The doctor told me point blank, most people don't survive that. You're very fortunate. My outward man was perishing. And you can ask my wife, I was so upset. Not that I was having the heart attack. I was upset that I couldn't be in South Carolina. Not that I wanted to speak. I could care less if I was speaking. I wanted to be there with my family, my loved ones, those who are brothers and sisters, fellow body members, joined together in an inseparable way where we have a connection because we have one who is greater than all of us, residing in each and every one of us, connecting us together in a way that is beyond our capability to even express in an adequate way. I was being renewed inwardly, while outwardly, I'm decaying. That's the reality. And Paul goes on in this reality saying in the end of verse 16, you're being renewed day by day. And there's a reason behind all of this. And the reason behind all of this is it's a momentary lightness of affliction. This is fleeting. I want you to put on your thinking for a second. Say you live to be, I don't know, 100. That's a good age, right? Most of us will never make that age. But say you live to be 100. What is 100 years in light of immortality?
A blip.
It's a blink, isn't it? It's a blip. It's almost like in a 24-hour day, maybe a millisecond. So there's a lightness to it because we have to understand this is temporary. This is something that is temporal. It's not your permanent reality. Yes, it's what you're experiencing right now, but it's not what is driving you. It is not what is motivating you. There is something far better that is your future and that will encompass an unending period of time. You will receive immortality. God's promised it to you, hasn't he? This mortal shall put on what?
Immortality.
So this is something God has promised to us. So right here, whatever it is that we're going through is a temporary condition. It is a temporary inconvenience. It's like waiting at that red light when you've got to be somewhere and you're running a little bit late And that light just seems like it's taking forever to change. But in the scheme of things, in the scheme of your day, it's short, it's quick. But boy, at that time when you're going through it, it seems like a real big inconvenience, doesn't it? Notice as it continues, though, our light affliction is at work. It's doing something for you. It's working on your behalf to create something for you. It's creating something that's fantastic. It is creating for you. It is producing for you. Our affliction is producing for us a transcendently, a way that is greater, better, or more important, going past or beyond or above the range of normal human existence, surpassing normal human experience, an aeonian, extremely heavy, knee-buckling weight of glory. What did I do to earn that? Well, it's the afflictions you suffer in this life, going through that service for your Savior. I could go to 2 Timothy 2 and really get into a really long discussion there about reward. Aeonian, where he talks about aeonian salvation with glory. We have salvation, but the glory that God is going to give to you is based off of what you do with what he's given you. Think about that. Is he going to reward an individual who's slack in their life? Can he reward that? And the answer is no. But can he reward an 80-year-old individual who may be frail in health, and the only thing that they really can do is maybe pray for somebody, and they're praying constantly? Does he reward that? You betcha he does. As you know, one of our former politicians used to say, you betcha.
Yeah.
Right? That's rewarded. Notice here how the Apostle Paul gets even more specific. This glory is not being observed right now. You can't see it. What we see is a bunch of us who don't look the same way we did 10 years ago, or maybe the way we did 15 years ago, or maybe the way we looked 30 years ago. Going back to that one picture of Ted with Rick and Ted's dad and Matt, I can guarantee you when that picture was taken that Matt has aged a lot. He definitely doesn't look the same. Ted had a lot more hair, and it was darker. But I can't say anything, because if I went back that far, I had a lot more hair too. So, but this is important. So there's this important individual we have to understand. In Psalm 97, if you want to turn there, Psalm chapter 97, now I alluded to this yesterday when I was looking at some things when it dealt with the mindset sometimes of individuals, but I'm sorry, I said 97, I want 71, I'm sorry. Psalm 71. And in Psalm 71, this psalm is often called the Psalm of Aging. And it's really a cry in a lot of ways of an individual going through that aging process in despair. But I want to show you some hopefulness in this passage. Look with me at verse 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, in thy power to everyone that is to come. Now notice here, this is an individual going through this aging perspective, this aging process, and he has gained a new perspective. And his new perspective is that he wants to leave a legacy. He wants to leave a legacy to the generation that's coming behind him. And to the generation that's following that one. And to the generation following that one. And that legacy is he wants to share with them some things about God. He wants to share with those generations a legacy of a knowledge of who God is and what he's accomplished and his greatness and his power. All of us are capable, regardless of where we are in our life, to begin to create a legacy like that, are we not? Are we not capable of teaching those that we come into contact with about the things of God, regardless of how we come into contact with them? I often think of my dear brother Rick. And it's so funny because he can engage people in conversations in a way that very few people can. It's a real talent. And he begins oftentimes talking with individuals he's working for. They'll notice him working, and inevitably the conversation always ends up going into the spiritual things. And he'll ask them, "So what's your gospel?" He can share with you how often he has somebody that can even tell him what it is. But I can guarantee you by the time they're done talking with Rick, they'll know what it is. And the bottom line is, maybe at that point in time, they just go away thinking, this guy, you know, what does he know? But I bet you there's somebody out there where it's eating at him. Why didn't my church convey this to me? And I can guarantee you that there are others out there. Why didn't somebody tell me about the distinctiveness of Paul in his message? Why didn't somebody tell me that my loved one who died in unbelief will someday be reunited with my Savior because his sacrifice for my sin far exceeded their sin? We can do that. And it doesn't matter where we are in our life. And it doesn't matter about our health. I can tell you one day when I was vomiting my brains out, going through cancer treatments, my doctor walked into the room and asked me point blank, "What are you reading?" And I said, I'm reading my Bible. And he said, why would you read that? Look at yourself. Right.
That's why I'm reading.
Literally, that was what he said. Why are you reading that? Look at yourself. And I said, because there's something far greater, and even if I die here, I know what is awaiting me. Would you like to know? 1 week later, he was a Christian. It ate at him, and he wanted to know. I did that in the frailty of where I was. I think of my father, my dad, when he was in the end of his life, and the counselor for the hospital that he's at comes in, and he says, well, Bob, would you like to take communion? And he goes, no, it's not necessary. And he said, why do you look so calm? He said, let me tell you about what I know is awaiting me. And for the next 4 hours, as I sat in a corner watching him, he laid out to this individual salvation, the distinctiveness of Paul, and the fact that ultimately all men will be with our Savior because He is victorious. He has won. You are part of His victory. And He shared these things with Him. We can leave that legacy. There are things that's interesting. Can somebody take Psalm 92? Psalm chapter 92, in verses 12 through 15.
The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that he planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him.
Now notice, they give forth fruit in their old age. The word for palm tree there is implying a specific type of a palm. It's a date palm. And some translations will render it that way, as date palm. Now, this is interesting because scriptures will consistently portray a vast contrast between an old age lived in fellowship with God and one lived without Him. The prosperity of the righteous is compared to that of this palm, this date palm, and a cedar tree. Strength and performance are emblazed, if you will, by these symbols. Now let's talk about this date palm for a second. Age does not impair its fruit-bearing capabilities. Rather, it enhances it. The Hebrew word for date palm is a word that indicates a tree that bears its full issue of fruit only in maturity. What is that full issue of fruit? 300 to 600 pounds of dates. It becomes more fruitful the older it gets. Don't we have the fruit of the Spirit? We do, don't we? You know what? Aging allows us to have the wisdom in the maturity, in the knowledge and understanding to be able to exhibit it in ways we lack when we're younger. We've been around the block. We've experienced life. And the more you experience life, the more you've been wronged by somebody. And the more you've been wronged by somebody, the more opportunity you have to minister. We limit ourselves. We limit ourselves because we believe when we hit a certain point that it's time to retire and we check out. And I'm telling you, when we hit a certain age, it's not time to retire. It's time to roll up the sleeves, go to work, and understand God has a purpose for you, and God has something that He wants for you to do, and you are a unique individual that is fully designed and capable to do the work that God wants you to do. Maybe it's not going out and digging ditches anymore. Maybe it's not going out and running a marathon. But wherever you are, God has a work for you. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. And you are part of something that is vastly greater than you. And what is awaiting you is that the afflictions you're facing are producing for you this transcendently transcendent burden of glory. Wow. How many of us have you ever seen when we hit the latter years of our life just quit trying to do anything? Go into a nursing home. And you see a lot of people just sitting there. And it's sad. But even there, there's work we could do. You never stop learning. Never stop understanding. And even if your memory isn't what it used to be, and mine isn't, I have to use notes, and right now I'm so far off of them, it's okay. We compensate for it, though. You know what happens? The Word of God becomes so real for you, it fills you, and it spills out of you. We're all capable of that. We're all capable of sharing the vast victory won for us and the glorious destiny that awaits us. Sometimes we're afraid of what people will think, but you know what I say? You know what I say? It's good to be uncomfortable. It's good to be in a position of discomfort, because if you're comfortable, you become complacent. And complacency produces laziness. And laziness produces the woe is me. Think about these things and realize wherever you are, in whatever season of life you are in, God has a purpose for you in that time frame of your life. And He can use you. And it is all working for you. Glory. Take the heaviest weight you've ever seen, multiply it by 10 trillion, and place it upon yourself. You know what happens? You're flattened and you look like Bugs Bunny or one of those, the Wile E. Coyote after the Acme anvil falls on him after he falls off a mountain and is flattened beyond belief, right? Because the heavy weight just crushed him to pieces. But that's the glory that you're bearing about. It's yours. We have it. Praise God for it. So, Greg, could You close us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together and these words. Let them fill us and help us become more fruitful. Christ, and we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Bill, can you read Romans 8:18?
It was a passage I was going to go to, but it was off my notes.
It just goes so well with what you're saying. Yeah.
Romans 8, the entire chapter really does. But Romans 8:18, for I am reckoning that the sufferings of the current era do not deserve the glory about to be revealed for us. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Okay, about 20 till. Good job. We'll get started again.
I'm looking forward to being old and decrepit now.
You're all your hair. Yeah, I know.